Hey guys, welcome to the Kevin and Fred Show. My name is Kevin Kaufman. I'm your host, and I just want to say thank you for taking some time out to listen with us this week. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, before we get to today's guest, head on over to ratethispodcast.com. That is ratethispodcast.com/NLA. That stands for Next Level Agents. ratethispodcast.com/NLA and leave us a review, or just go to any podcast player that you prefer and look us up, the Kevin and Fred Show, and please leave us a review. That is the best way to support our efforts here in the show. All right, let's get to today's episode.
All right, guys, we're back on the Kevin and Fred Show, and today I get to be joined in studio. I like this. Because as I was telling you, Trevor, first of all, let me introduce you. Trevor Halperin, how's it going, buddy?
Good, man.
As I was just saying to you before we started recording, I've only done a handful of recordings here in studio, if you will. And yeah, by studio, I mean the extra office that we turned into to a studio.
Don't give it away.
So it could sound really cool. But it's nice to be able to do more interviews with folks who are local. You're here in the Phoenix market as well. You and I crossed paths a couple years ago now on a panel that our lenders were putting on.
Yep.
And just kind of were like, oh, I think I like that guy. We should go hang out sometime. So we've been able to do that a few times now and get to know each other. And so, first of all, thanks for being a guest on the show, dude.
Thank you for asking me to come, man. This is awesome.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Trevor, why don't we do this, man? For the listener who maybe doesn't know you yet, give me the quick little rundown of what your business looks like today. Then I'm gonna jump around a whole bunch of different things from there.
Yeah.
But let's just start there and kind of lay the foundation and then we'll go.
I love it. Let's see, I've been in the business for 10 years and, you know, I've gotten to the point where right now with what I'm doing is, I'm running what I call a solo team. So I'm the sole producer, but I have people around me that help to make sure that our clients are getting a really good experience and that we're delivering on what we promise we deliver on. So
the concept.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Go figure. Right. Yeah. But you know, if it was just me, you know, and the solo agent right now is struggling so hard. And if just me without leverage, I wouldn't be able to do the amount of business that I'd be able to do, and I wouldn't be delivering as well as we do or think we do. And as a referral business, when people kick us people back, like, okay, we did a good job, we showed you value, that sort of stuff. So I've developed this thing, this solo team mentality. I'm a network-based agent. So 95% of my business comes from people I know, friends, family, referral, repeat, that sort of stuff. So that's where I am in the biz.
Awesome. So when you say, you know, 95% or network based, like, was it that way from the get go?
Yep. Yeah.
What was it about that? I mean, did you have some guidance early on to do that, or was that just sort of your natural inclination?
Natural inclination. I mean, that's a great question. When I first started in this business, I'd been in a couple of different lines of business. I knew a lot of people. I grew up here. And what I was always good at doing in the other lines of business that I was in was connecting people. But those connections usually didn't end up with like revenue for what I was doing, right? And so I thought when I came into this business, I thought long and hard about what I wanted to do. When I came into real estate, I was like, man, I just want to continue to connect people. And now when I connect, like I always say, weave a web and see what gets caught in it. Like, hey, you should know so-and-so and you should blah, blah, blah. And just being constantly valuable to people, all of a sudden you're top of mind and you've got this web going and things just get caught in it.
Yeah.
So that's, I came into it thinking, I know a lot of people. I think I can provide a really good value. And so I just started interacting with my network, and the more you know, people saw that I was actually doing this and doing it full time, the more people called.
Yeah. That's, you know, I tell a lot of our younger agents, like on our team or just people I've spoken to, you know, first couple of years in real estate, it's like, there's the people, this is my experience, or at least my impression. I'd love to hear your thought on it is there's the people that are going to do business with you right away, 'cause they love you. Like, because you just got into real estate, they're for sure doing business with you and sending you business.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people, they're for sure not.
Yeah.
And maybe they will. I don't know if it's like there's some sort of magical 5-6 year mark. You know, there's so much turnover in real estate, as you know, that at a certain point they go, oh, he's serious. This is really the career. Okay. Yeah. Now I can trust them either with my own business or my referrals.
That's it. I agree with that 100%. You know, what I found is no one wanted to be the first one.
Right.
You know, like literally no one wanted to be the first. They're like, okay, like you've had a couple starts and stops at different careers. Like, is this one going to last? Do I really want to be the first? And so my actual first deal after 6 months in the business, I had nothing. I didn't join a team. I just came into an office and was like, I'm going to do real estate and started charging it the way I thought it was supposed to be done. First 6 months, no business. And then I was on at that brokerage. It was called desk time. Yeah, I think it was. I think that's
like
what it's
floor time.
Floor time. Floor okay. time. That's what it. Floor time. So any call that comes into the brokerage during my set number of hours, I get to take it as a sales lead. And it was literally a call on a listing and introduced me to this buyer that I met out there. It wasn't the house, but I started working with him as a buyer, and then found him another house. Got him under contract there, sold him the house, and then he ended up being my first listing too.
Nice.
And then after that, it was like the dam broke, right? And I was able to deliver that success to my network. People found out, oh, he's got deals. And now they're not the first. He knows what he's doing.
He's not going
to
practice on
right?
us.
Right? Yeah. And I made sure that in those early days too, trying to capitalize on it, like showing that I'm doing this, being, you know, having setting up little things that were repetitive, that were low maintenance on my side, to go out to my network. Hey, I'm in real estate. Hey, I'm in real estate. Hey, I'm in real estate and I'm actually selling homes. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally. That's awesome, man. So 6 months, like, did you ever think about quitting in that 6 months?
There were times I would literally, and I was one of those guys, I went into the office every day. Like I had, like, that's how I have to do it. If I don't go into the office, it's really hard to work. It's always been that way for me. And so I was one of those guys, I was in there at 8:30 every morning, you know, and I'd be there until 5:30, 6, you know. And there were days where I could literally feel my face and my ears turning bright red.
Yeah.
Like, and there were days where I just pushed back from my desk and was like, what am I doing? Fuck it. I'm out of here. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
You have no idea what you're doing. Business isn't coming. There were one of those days I called my dad and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, this isn't working. Like, I'm super frustrated. And he was like, go home. And I was like, what do you mean go home? And he's like, part of why you're in a business like this is so that you don't have to be tied to a desk all the time. If you're frustrated and it's not working, go home. So I was like, all right. So I went home and like, I refreshed, I recharged, I got my mind right. And the next day I was back at it. You know?
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, okay, I do have the ability to get out of here and get out of my own head and get out of my own way, you know, every once in a while. You can't pull the ejection handle too often. Otherwise, you're not going to be productive. But, fatherly wisdom, go home. You know, he's a lawyer. He bills hours. So if he leaves, it's like, you know, he can see the meter going down. With us, it's like, you know, yeah, it's all broken down into hours, but big chunks of commission at once.
I had a mentor, kind of one of the first mentors I'd ever had. He used to say, you know, I think some people's natural inclination is to like push through that. And he's like, his thought was the same. He's like, no, go, like, you should go home. If you're having your worst day, like, just stop.
Yeah.
Like the day that you're crushing it, you know, if your goal is to so many contacts or so many sales a day or whatever that looks like, mm-hmm. and you get there at like noon, then keep going, go till 9 o'clock that night. Like, that's the day you keep pushing.
Ride the wave, yeah.
But the day that you're, like, running into a brick wall, go home.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because I learned – my dad taught me that. Your mentor taught you that. And, like, how many times have you deployed that career?
Absolutely.
Like,
Both ways, yes.
I do it. I mean, there are times, like, you know, it seems less and less frequent. Now that, you know, the business, you know, when you've been doing it for long enough, you can – sense when things are going a certain direction,
for sure.
You know how to head it off. You know how to handle it. Oh, I've been down this path. It's not as devastating, whatever. But there's still days like there was one recently. I looked across the office at my operations coordinator. I was like, I'm going home now. And she's like, okay. Like, she's like, yes, I think you should.
She's like, please, for all of our sake, go home.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there are times where you get to pull that lever, but, you know, I think that's it. You know, a little bit of experience, a little bit of time, some, you know, learning lessons that you don't have to keep repeating so that when that thing, that feeling, that thing starts coming back up, you're like, I've been down this path. I know you.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. 100%. So you mentioned, let's go back to your business model, right? Mm-hmm. So, you just mentioned an operations coordinator. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what are all the, outside of Trevor,
yeah,
like who are the other staff positions?
Yeah, yeah. So I've got, right now I have one full-time W-2 employee.
Okay.
I'm probably going to bring another one on. We're actually in expansion mode. So the way the structure of the team looks, and as I have it right now, there's one open position. And that open position is client concierge.
Okay.
So that's a W-2 full-time W-2 employee that is really the field rep. Show the homes, make sure clients are getting delivered to them homes like, hey, have you seen this one? Have you seen that? I think this one would work for you. That concierge is really out kind of a showing agent. They're out running errands, dropping gifts off, doing pop buys.
So they're like really an extension of you.
They're an extension of me. Okay. They report up. The way we're going to have it, it's going to report up to JC, my operations coordinator. And then I view and, you know, see all the reports that are going on. I interject where needed. I guide and direct as opposed to more like of the direct day-to-day management. But yeah, they're an extension of me out in the marketplace to get clients, like, you know, to keep the flame stoked, you
absolutely
know? And to get out there, show homes, to get out there. And let's say there's a listing where it's like, hey, when we do have showings, I mean, in a normal market, when it's like, you know, everyone just flood in here for 2 hours and then write your offer. You know what I mean? In a normal market.
What the hell is that?
Yeah,
it's
right?
been so long.
Dude, it's unreal. But like, you know, there are listings where let's say it's a high value listing. Let's say it's a couple million bucks and you're probably not going to get the flood, but you're going to get showings. And it should be lit up. The windows should be open. The temperature should be right. Like the concierge is going to go out and do that. That role was filled. It's vacant. JC and I were like managing, you know, the showings and all the stuff. But we're like the last couple of weeks, we've started to see some cracks like, hey, we got it. We have to manage this. Like time to bring the concierge back. So,
cause that's a role you've had before.
That's a role I've had before. It's been vacant for about 6 months.
Okay.
We did have some help with, some showing agents, you know, kind of a la carte showing agents at our brokerage. But those folks have moved to another brokerage. So now it's like, okay, well, the universe has spoken and it's time to hire
time to
again.
Refill.
Well, dude, you know how it is. Every time you go to hire, every time you, it's like time to leverage. It's like pucker factor. You're like, here we go. Here's the expense. Here's the whatever, but you know, it's going to work because you planned it and built it. So back to your question, the structure is me, client concierge as a field rep, operations coordinator. Those two are W-2 employees. Operations coordinator manages my transaction management team. Okay. They manage my marketing people. They make sure everything that we talk about getting done is getting done. And it's like my one source, like, hey, did the thing get done with the marketing stuff? And she'll be like, yes, no, waiting on so-and-so, right? So operations is more business operations as well as getting in the mix, making sure that clients, once the contract comes in, gets to the finish line. So, you know, inspection reviews, writing Benzers, that sort of stuff. So
that's the operations.
Yep, that's operations. And the reason why that was for a while on concierge, but this operations coordinator has a particular expertise. She used to work for a luxury home builder. So she can go into inspections and be like, that's
so
wonky.
She knows it. Okay.
She knows it. So because she knows it so well, we're always like playing to our strengths, punting to our weaknesses. Like, why are you doing that? Shouldn't you do that? Why am I doing this? Shouldn't you do that? Why are you doing that? Shouldn't I do this? And constantly like shuffling the deck. And so, so between those two, we've got field work covered. We have internal operations and budgeting and all of that covered. And then underneath that, we've got a handful of 1099 contractors. A marketing assistant helps me to make sure that social media is getting out there, that posts are being drafted, all that stuff. I go in and make sure it's in my language, agree with it, disagree with it, chuck this one, let's do that instead. She really manages all of that, make sure our newsletter is buttoned up and looks good, make sure videos are uploaded where they need to be. And then I've got a graphic designer that makes sure that everything looks good and in uniform.
Okay.
And then I've got a digital marketing coordinator who he's basically like a virtual chief marketing officer, and he looks at all the SEO stuff and develops a strategy like, hey, Google says that these searches are up 1500%. We need to write a blog about these.
Right.
So then we write a blog about it. And then now we have SEO juice bringing people to our website, showing that and raising our visibility in cyberspace.
So these people are, so minus the first two that we talked about, they're all 1099.
They're all 1099
contractor employees.
Exactly. Like, I'm not the only one that works with them. They have multiple clients. And then we've got the final piece of that puzzle is PR, publicists, making sure that, like, when we write blogs and whatever, that they're going out and that they're being picked up by media. So I'll have stuff published in AZ Big Media, and that's pointing back to my website. And now when that points back to my website looks better and grows. Even all more classic SEO stuff. Yeah. And, you know, really all of this is designed to make sure that my network is engaged and that my network, like, looks at me as the pro, the expert, right? Like, oh, if we're going to go buy and sell real estate, let's use Trev. He's been published or whatever. Like, it really makes my network and my sphere, one, raises my visibility, and two, raises my credibility. And so the phone rings more. It's hard to quantify it, though. Be like, oh, that came from there and that came from there. It's like kind of coming from.
It's so hard to quantify anything at this point. Like, yeah. Last click attribute. Everything you can be so omnipresent and through so many different channels. Yep. It's virtually impossible these days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard. My digital content guy calls it the omniverse, the omni channel. Yeah. Like, it's coming from everywhere.
Yep.
And yeah, it's hard to track. And as a network based guy, it's even harder. And like, marketing principles would say, if you're buying leads and all that, like, track every penny, you know,
leads are one thing,
right?
Did they click the button? Yeah. Did they opt in? Like, you know that part, right? But once they're a lead, depending on how they get treated or someone from your network, it's virtually impossible. You've kind of, obviously you gotta be smart about it, be able to make sure you have a return and mm-hmm. like a profit. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing those things, like, that's obviously great, but it's really hard to, like, narrow down, like, hey, this is the one thing that's really, you know, kicking for me.
So hard. And it's like, you almost hit, you know, to your point earlier about, like, if you're in the office one day and, like, you're just firing, like, go until 9 o'clock. It's like, there are these waves, right? Like, something's clicking, like there's something that is out there that's mixed, and all of a sudden, like, everyone's calling, and then it, like, kind of goes away, and then something clicks, and you just kind of ride these waves, you know? It's hard to track.
Does that change what you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Not on day-to-day. Our marketing mix and our approach will change. We have two marketing meetings a month. So we have one, which is an analysis, like, hey, what went well and what are we doing?
So when you say we, who participates in that meeting?
Yeah. So in our marketing meeting, it's me, it's JC, the operations coordinator. Okay. When the concierge role gets filled, it'll be the concierge, because they're out there in the field. They know what people are, you know, what the vibe is.
Right.
It's my publicist, and it's my digital content director. And it's my marketing assistant. Okay. So it's a tribe. So, and my wife.
You really are. So you are getting the whole crew together for this.
Yep. Okay. Twice a month, the crew gets together and we look at what we did and we provide analytics. And then the next one, based on the analytics, is planning. So, execute, and then we look to see what worked, and then we plan the next one. Okay, that didn't work. We shouldn't do any more of that. Or, you know, like, one of the things, I've got a podcast, and one of the things, the first thing that my digital content guy said was, dude, you shouldn't be doing it. It's not doing anything. You're, like, out there looking at the numbers, it's not really effective. But when I see people, they're like, bro, I saw your podcast, you know, and it's like, okay, like, people are, my network may not, when you look at the metrics, it may not be huge, but the people that are engaged are the people that I want to be engaged.
Well, I mean, dude, if you think about it, I don't know how big you'd consider your sphere of influence is. But the reality is if you've got, I'm going to just call it 150 people, like, that's good for 30 plus transactions a year.
Totally.
So let's just say, I'm not saying this is your goal or my goal or that it should be anybody's goal, but let's say the goal was 30 transactions a year.
Mm-hmm.
You only need 150 people to pay attention to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not hard to do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're getting 100 downloads a podcast, not a lot of downloads. And in that scenario, that could be uber effective.
Totally. Right?
So it's really about, like, well, what's the result? Like, what are we going after?
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to be, you know, Tim Ferriss or Joe Rogan or something.
Right.
With the podcast, we're trying to make sure we're in that omniverse, I think, as your guy called it, right? And so it can be super effective with what seems like a small number that is just, like, perfect.
Well, you know, it's funny, too. You say, you know, 150 people need to pay attention. they barely even need to pay attention. They just need to like, you just need to be in front of them.
Actually, you just need to remember to get them to pay attention for like a second.
For a half second to be like, hey, oh, there's Kevin again. Oh, hey, there's Trevor again. And then guess what? Right as they're talking real estate, either with each other or with someone else, they will have just glanced by something that we did. And they're like, hey, you got to call my buddy, Kevin. You got to call Trevor.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's just about so much about that. I think even more and more too, with just the technology, the different companies that we have that we're dealing with, both not just the iBuyers, but even like the hedge funds, et cetera, and just the changes going on in our industry. And you can still buy leads. Like, we still buy leads. We just focus more of our time on the people we already know.
Totally.
Like that. And I think the more you get into this, like the more we're going to have to do that, right? Because we can build a moat around those people. Like eventually we're going to all get priced out of buying new leads eventually.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, when you're buying something that everyone else can buy, the only way you're going to be able to acquire it is to outmaneuver them or outpay them. It's just like being out in the market right now as a buyer.
Yeah.
Everyone wants this one house. Everyone wants those leads. And guess what? The person that's going to pay the most is going to get it. So to your point, you're going to price out. They become less effective. You see your percentages go down on them. Half the time, I don't know, like, you know, we use this tool. What is it? Where you partner with a lender and
Homebot.
We use Homebot. And half the time I get a ping from a client on that. Hey, so-and-so wants a CMA. And when I connect with them, they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't know it like went to a live person. Like, I didn't know that, like, you know, so that's just an internal click. But if you're paying for leads and then half the time when you get in touch with them, they're hostile or they're getting calls from a bunch of agents, and you know, it becomes a return on your time too, as much as a return on your investment.
Yeah. The lead game is tough. I mean, personally, I still love it, because it's a war of attrition, but going into it, you have to know that it's a war of attrition. It is not like, it's not this easy thing that I think that people have their, you know, they think, oh, I can just buy leads and then I'm going to have business. And it's like, you can buy leads, but then you got to really work hard.
Yeah.
And to your point, okay, you got to differentiate yourself. Like you've got to constantly be on top of that. Mm-hmm. And it's such a hard game that I think is going to just get harder and harder to try to compete in. And ultimately, I suppose you don't have to. It's just my belief that you've got to be able to go to a sphere of influence, a past client list, a database, whatever you want to call it. Like, that's got to be at the core of every real estate business.
Totally. I've got a buddy of mine who's a branch manager, and when he brings someone on, the only way he's going to bring them on and give them a draw against future income is if they have a spreadsheet of 100 people, like filled out, not just a name, like name, email address, phone number. These are the people that you're going to call and work. You know, this is what's going to get you going. So, yeah, I mean, you know, having a database and being able to dig in past clients is huge. But if you're an agent starting out, and let's say one, you may not have a deep bench, you may not have a deep network. Or two, obviously you don't have any past clients. So where do you start? Leads buying, going to a team. And then once you start showing value, you've got some hits. I was talking to an agent yesterday or the day before. He's been in the business for 4 years. And business is slow right now. He's having trouble with getting his buyers over the hump and whatever. And I was like, dude, you're about to hit that sweet spot where the people that you sold homes to are now starting to call you.
Yeah.
4 years later, 5 years later. Then the phone rings, hey, we're ready to, you know, upgrade or, you know, move in, blah, blah, blah. That's when that side of the database starts kicking. So until you really get there, you've got to acquire the business, you know, however you can. But you probably know this statistic better than I do. What is it that it's like, you know, 80% of people would use their agent again if they could only remember who it was?
Yeah, exactly. Something weird like that.
Yeah. So from day one, from closing number one, you have to have a plan with how you're going to stay engaged with that person.
Yeah, exactly. A buddy of mine was in town from Portland yesterday and was teaching a class, and he just was talking about the amount of time and effort that people will put into meeting somebody new versus staying in touch with the people we already know.
It's like chasing unicorns or chasing ghosts, as I call it.
You know, like he gave the example, and I mean, he even said, like, there's nothing wrong with doing an open house. Open house is great. But like, okay, you do an open house. It's, let's say it's 3 hours And then you got a half an hour putting out signs. You got a half an hour picking up signs. Maybe you got a half an hour drive there. And half at a minimum, you got 5 hours into it, right? At a minimum. And you might have met someone there. Maybe not, but maybe you did. That can turn into a client. But maybe you could also invest that 5 hours into your database. Like, would you see a better return for that? And I think that more people would see a better return for that. Granted, if you don't have a database yet, that's not who I'm talking to right now, right? But if you've got a database, you've got past clients, you've got a sphere of influence, like your time, like until that is taken care of, everything else is a distraction.
Totally. And it's so true. And, especially on the open house front, it's funny because Brian North the founder of North & Co. was talking to me one day. He's like, so you have people sign in at open houses? And I was like, nah, I'm like, I don't like doing it. I know that their biggest barrier to walking in that door is, Mr. Agent being like, hey, slide in, I'm going to call your ass. You know what I mean? And so, he was like, okay, so if you're not getting them to sign in, you can't follow up with them. He's like, what else do you like to do? And I was like, well, I like hanging with my family, like going hiking. I like, going up to our cabin. He's like, then don't hold open houses. Go to the cabin. He's like, because if you're not capturing the lead,
I love Brian.
Yeah, he's like, don't do it, dude. Yeah. If you're not getting their contact info, yeah, you may stumble. Someone may come in and you're like, hey, like make a connection.
You may, but like the chances of it are so small. Like I also could win the lottery.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'd have to buy a ticket, but still.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't win if you don't play.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of the same thing though, if you look at it.
Yeah.
And yeah, like your time would literally be better spent relaxing, recharging, or maybe even working on the database instead.
Exact call. If you're afraid to capture people's names, guess what you're going to be afraid to do? Call them.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm not even going to ask you for your info, then I don't have a follow-up system. And if I'm a leads based agent trying to go and buy leads and trying to capture leads at open houses, and I won't capture your name so that I can put you in a database and follow up with you. Like right there, the writing on the wall is approaching this business. Right.
Yeah. Don't do it. Find another way.
Find another way.
And which is, by the way, and you and I have talked about this before, it's one of the beautiful things is there's a lot of other ways to generate business.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All day. And that's what's so great about real estate is you get to do it how you want to do it. It's your little micro business. It's an extension. Your little business is an extension of who you are as a person. And so you get to operate it however you want.
Yeah. So back in that kind of, I guess in that thought of operate it the way you want, tell me, what did you call your name again? Your model?
Solo team.
Solo team.
Yeah.
So what was there like an inflection point for you where you're like, hey, I'm doing this. So what I now call solo team. Like,
yeah.
What was it that led you to that decision?
It was every once in a while, as this business tends to do, it makes you want to add agents to your team.
Yeah.
you know this as a team lead, right? Yeah. I mean, your model is built on this. And so, especially as a solo agent, you get to points where you feel like your career is not going to progress until you add team agents, because that's what this business is about. If you want to be a mega agent, if you want to be a lead of a mega team, like you have to add team agents. And so I, various times, especially over the last 4 or 5 years since I switched brokerages and went to the entrepreneurial brokerage that is North & Co., like I got to the point where I was like, time to add team agents. So then I'd start talking to Brian about it. I'd start talking to my executive coach about it. I'd start putting the pieces together. And then we'd all get to this point where we're like, what are you doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Why did I do that?
Yeah. And there was a conversation with my wife. I was like, time to add team agents. Here we go. Let's da 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 da. And this was right after I'd brought on the concierge for the first time, and things were rolling. And I like, there was one afternoon where I was in my pool and the phone rang. I was in my pool with my family and the phone rang. It was a Sunday and it was my concierge, and I didn't even know she was out showing homes. She's like, hey, I'm with so-and-so. They want to write an offer. Here's this and that, the information. And I started crying. I was like, it's working. Like I'm with my family and things are happening. And so, that really started operating. And then I was like, time to add team agents. We can do this. Look at how this is working. Now it's time to go. And my wife was like, she's like, hold up a sec. She's like, so you just got your team, your little solo team operating so that you're not Mr. Guy all the time. Like every phone call gets answered. You get no sleep. You're up in the middle of the night. You're doing all the things. You're answering all the client questions and calls and agent questions and calls. You just got to the point where like a huge percentage of that is offloaded. And now you want to bring agents on so that you can have their phone calls that are like, I feel sad, you know, because you know how so much of that is like things aren't working. What do I need to like pumping people up and doing all this stuff? So I offloaded and created space for my family and to live a little bit more. And then I was going to fill it with agents. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't feel right. And then talking, you know, all of my mentors and coaches were all like, yeah, it doesn't feel right. Like the trajectory of my business as a solo agent, I'm growing it by 20 to 25% a year, you know, over a decade. Like that's, dude, that's
significant.
I'll take that.
So, I mean, it's funny you say, like when you said, you know, if you want to become the mega agent, you like the you know, you add agents. Yeah, everybody knows that. Like it's no right. secret. But what I noticed was your choice of words. It wasn't if you want to make more money.
Right.
Which I think is the thing that ultimately a lot of people want.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
And whether we'll admit it or not, like I'm perfectly okay admitting I'm a capitalist. I like to make money. Mm-hmm. I want to make as much money as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. But more than that, I want my time first.
Yep.
No doubt. I want my time first. Money is a distant second to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I see is people who like you obviously had, whether that was because your wife said, hold on, or if you would have got there yourself anyways, but like most people just like, don't even see that of like, hey, I should go a different route.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go, oh, well, look, there's these other, look at the top five teams in my office. I'm just going to copy what they do.
Exactly.
And it doesn't fit their personality. Right. It doesn't fit their goals. It doesn't fit what they want. And so then they do this. And then it's like this constant cycle of like falling on their face
yep.
and never really committing to one model or the other.
Right. Right. And because to your point, they haven't been introspective enough to be like, is this really what fits me? And that's where I came and have a couple of times come to that, yeah, I'm not bringing on team agents because, you know, especially one of my mentors that works with me on Headspace stuff is like, he's like, dude, anytime you're going to do something, there has to be like a plus plus. Like you make more money and you get more time with your family.
Right.
You get more time with your family and you get to blah, blah, blah. Like whatever it is, there has to be a plus plus. And he's like, every time you get, cause I'll get antsy, you get antsy, yeah. right? The entrepreneurial spirit is like, oh man, I'm bored. Or like, oh, I want to do something. Or look, squirrel, let me add a team agent. Right. And every time I start looking external, well, maybe I'll go, you know, join a board or maybe I'll go do another charity. My mentor will go, he'll be like, okay, well, take that energy that you want to move out and pull it back in. He's like, until you are perfect, spend your time on you and your inner circle. He's like, how does it look? How is your inner circle? How does your really tight circle look and feel? And it's like, dude, it feels really good. He's like, yeah, so don't go break it unless there's a plus plus.
Yeah, there's so much more value in what I would call going deep
mm-hmm.
than to instead of just trying all these new things, right? Mm-hmm. Which is easy to get caught in that trap. I've done it. Most everybody has, but there really is just so much value. I remember I had a call, I guess it was about a year and a half ago with somebody who was at one time kind of a pretty strong mentor in my life business-wise, and we were just catching up on stuff. And one of the things he's like, okay, so, you know, so what's next? Well, you know what? I was like, I think I'm just kind of like, yeah. I'm in my groove and I think I'm going to be here for a while. And I'll never forget. He's like, I'm really glad I heard you say that. He's wow. like, so many people I know get to, you know, where you're at, whether that happens to be financially, business-wise, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay, cool. This is going well. What can I add to it? Or what else can I start doing? Mm-hmm. And then instead of this thing getting just amazingly big and awesome, that it just kind of never really gets past that point. It right. sort of stays mediocre and they go add something else that's right. mediocre. And if it would just stay right there a little bit longer and just go a little bit deeper, like the whole world starts to open up.
Well, I was just going to say, and it opens up things that you didn't even expect to be open.
Yeah.
Like patience You know, sowing seeds and deep roots, you going deep, God, it pays. And it pays in these ways that yeah, you didn't expect.
Yeah.
You know, I always find that the more I force things, the less it works out. Just in life, relationships.
I'm going to say life, business, all dude, of it. Yes, friendships, like, all of it.
Yeah.
If you got to force it,
yep.
You just got to go, am I, every once in a while, I'll ask myself that question, like, am I forcing this or... Mm-hmm. Are we forcing something here that mm-hmm. we shouldn't? And mm-hmm. just have to check yourself sometimes. I have to check myself sometimes on that.
Well, and I think it's important. Like when you check yourself and you really do ask those tough questions, I mean, it's easy, you know, we're such creatures of habit and environment, right? So if your environment has a dead plant there, you just overlook it. And if that dead plant is someone who's creating bad, dark energy in your life, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit.
Hey, there's a dead plant.
Dead plant there. Why is that been sitting there? Like, time to clear the room. Right.
Yep.
And, you know, one of my favorite sayings is fresh water. Like when you clear energy, when you break the dam and you let the water go and new water comes in and fills it, it's new vibrancy, new energy, like creating that space to allow for something new to come in. That's something new is, you know, you may not plan for it, but boom, it hits and you're like, oh,
you make the room
man.
For it.
You make the room. You've made the space for it. Yeah. And if your space is full of things that aren't, you know, moving your life forward in one way or another, you should let them go.
Yeah, absolutely. You should. There's so much. I was just saying this too with a little group text between my business partner and Jill, who runs our world administratively. Mm-hmm. I just said the term. I said addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
And she was like, you are so right on this. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it's addition, but, you know, it's the dead plant.
Yep.
Oh, shit. There's a dead plant in the room. Yep. I didn't even notice it.
Yep.
I'm gonna get rid of that, right?
Right.
And then it starts to open things up for so much better.
Well, and in this business as an agent, that dead plant could be a client that's dragging you down.
Oh, yeah.
Mentally, time-wise, you know, there are those clients that'll beat you up. There's those clients that'll look at homes for 2 years. And, you know, I mean... We had one recently where we'd had a client under contract. She'd been working with her for 2 years. I've had her under contract 6 times in this marketplace as a buyer. Like that's like people are dying to get a deal, and I've gotten her a deal 6 times, and then she cancels. And she'd canceled this last one, and I looked at JC, my operations coordinator, and I was like, hey, you okay if I let her go? And she's like, I'm totally cool with it. And so, but it was funny. She canceled on a Benzer. And the next day, she sent a text. If it's not too late, I've made a mistake. I do want it. We got her back. And she's closing this month after 2 years, dude. But, that's a good lesson too, because when she called me to let me know the afternoon before that she was canceling, I knew that I was going to let her go as a client. But I figured it was just going to be kind of a slow, like I wasn't going to be like, hey, you fired. You know, I was like, let's just see what she does after this. She's like, I'm going to take a break. And I was like, cool. It'll just fade out. Right. Yep. I was super nice to her. I was like, I've always just wanted the best for you. You know, like I really mean it. Like I want her making the right decision for her. But then the next morning when she sent the text and then I was like, hey, you know, let's talk. She got on the phone and she was like, I almost didn't send that text because I thought you guys would think that I'm like insane and blah, 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 blah. So if I'd been mean, you know, there are people like, and that's a learned behavior to not be like, bro, you've wasted my time. Like, what are you doing? Like, you have to be nice to people even when they're screwing you over or you feel like you're getting screwed over, and then they may come back.
There's a lot to unpack there, dude. Like, the fact that you were mental, like you had gone, okay, I'm going to fire this client. Mm-hmm. That is so hard for so many people to mm-hmm. do, to go. They think like it's such a natural thing to go, I put 2 years in.
Yes.
I got to get it. I got to get it.
Yep.
It's so funny that after that point, that's when you were like, yeah, I'm just going to have to let her go. Right. And then that's when she comes back around like the next day. Come on.
Dude, you know, it's almost like what I was saying. The harder I force, I created room to let her go, and boom, she filled it and came back and is getting the deal done.
Yeah, and you know, though, I think you have the courage. I don't know if courage is the word. You have the courage to do that, though, because you're doing what you're supposed to do every day mm-hmm. to bring in enough business mm-hmm. to where one deal doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like from a from my income standpoint, which is still how so many of us will operate, is what's the impact on me versus like, hey, if I'm just doing my job every day, like the money's going to show, it's a byproduct.
Right.
The money will show up. It's a byproduct of me doing the right things every day. And so then you don't have to get attached to any one closing or any one client.
My precious, right? Yes. Like you're holding on to it. And that, that really is a learned behavior. I mean, there are times, my wife has been with me for all, but like a year, my first year and a half or so. So she sees these cycles or she sees clients and like, there have been times where she's like, hey, like, can you please fire them? Like, I want my husband back. Like, hello, you know, because if something's going bad or like a client feels like you're not doing your all and you're really giving it your all and they're not seeing it and you're disconnected, like it takes a little chunk of your soul. You know, you're like dead eyes at dinner. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, like, how can I fix it? It's like watching a relationship crumble in front of you. And when you do really need the income or whatever, it's hard to realize that, hey, if you cut out this cancer, better energy, more money is going to come in behind it. It's hard to do, but to your point, if you're doing everything that you need to do every day, and if you weren't spending 3 hours with this person that isn't transacting or is sucking the life out of you, then get that 3 hours back and put it into work in your database or holding an open house and having people sign in and then putting them in your database.
I was going to say, go do the open house. I was going to say exactly that.
3 hours. Dude, Halpern Residential is the home of the 2-hour open house. We don't do 3 hours for the exact thing, the exact reasons why you said earlier. Dude, when you tell people you can see it between here and here, guess what? You get all of these people show up here. Yeah. If you're like, you can see between here and here, all these people show up there. If you tell them when it's going to be, they're going to go.
So many agents are like, what do you mean you don't have to work 7 days a week or you don't have to? I'm like, it's the same thing with an open house. If you just tell people up front what the expectation is, they know what to expect. It's not a big deal.
Right.
It's really not.
Right.
And so you can get people to understand this is the way you work and this is the way you do things. Mm-hmm. And no, we're not going to look at houses when you're not ready. Yeah. Like my buddy Craig yesterday was teaching about how he teaches the agents on his team. They have a pipeline system and it's A's, B's and C's, right? Mm-hmm. And A's are, they're transacting this month, right? They're ready, willing and able. They're transacting this month. B's are almost there, but not quite. C's are, you know, they're C's. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he talked about just the ability to, when you recognize you've got a C or a B that really is more like a C, to just like, hey, you know, we're probably not going to go look at how it's like, it's okay when you set that expectation or you set the expectation of, hey, these are the days I do my showings or some, whatever that thing like, or this is when I present offers.
Yep.
I used to have agents mad at me all the time. Cause I just, when I was taking listings, I just don't present listing offers on the weekend. I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just ask my clients permission up front at the listing appointment to present them multiple offers on Monday instead of one offer at a time over a weekend. And they'd be like, yes, of course. That's so much better.
It's better for all of us.
Yes. And I'm like, it is. Cause then more offers are better. Right.
Yeah.
And so, that's how I did it. And it would always invariably, it'd piss off an agent every weekend because I wasn't going to present their offer that they submitted Friday night at 7 o'clock. I wasn't going to present it till Monday morning at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, actually you can, as long as the client knows what the expectations are. And they know the rules of engagement, they're good.
Yep. Well, and those expectations, you know, it's funny. You see a lot of the expectations set in the MLS, like, coming soon, no showings until blah, blah, blah. And then you see it go pending, right? It's like agents set expectations, then they break them on the MLS, where it's like when you really set them to your point of like—
Actually hold to it.
You know, we put very specific rules in place for our listings, like— hey, available to see during the open house from 11 to 1 on Saturday, 11 to 1 on Sunday. Offers due Sunday by 7 p.m. We'll get back to you Monday by 7 p.m. And when agents call and they go, is there any chance my client can get in? Or like, I've got this juicy offer. Yeah, exactly. 11 to 1. When agents call and go, hey, are you really sticking to it? I go, absolutely. I put that in writing. That's my word. I'm standing by it. The clients know this is what we're doing. They're expecting this. Like, this is what we're doing. And agents, they will be like, thank you so much. You know, thank you for holding to your word. So, like, the expectations that you set both with clients, with employees, with
because then everybody agents, knows how to behave.
Yeah,
everybody it's super knows, easy. Everybody knows the rules of engagement.
Yep.
We know how to behave. We know what the rules are. Yep. We know, like, okay, cool. Now I can play. I can paint between these lines. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard.
Well, you know, and I think in as an agent, you know, setting those expectations is so important to play within those lines. And so many agents don't know how to set the expectation.
Well, they haven't set it. They don't, because they have never set expectations for themselves.
That's a good point.
So it's like 24/7. Of course, I'll do whatever my client says.
Whatever. I'm like, oh, hey, we want to look at homes. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to run right out.
Well, we, you know, one of the best things that we've implemented is we have a client intake form. We have a buyer. Yeah. We call it a buyer discovery session, and we have a seller discovery session.
Yep.
And we don't pass go until you've sat down.
Those happen first. There's no, I don't care if you just want to go buy a new building. You just need me to go sign you in. Like this happens.
We're still having this. Yep. Yeah. Because we have all of our questions. It lays out, we figure out what the real motivation is, what they really want. Like, yeah. I really want this and it needs to look and feel like this. What is your success? Now we've got our target. Now we can build the system. But it also gives us a chance to set those expectations. Hey, what we approach it this way. This is what we do. Until you get pre-qualified, we're not going to see homes. Your ticket to open doors is a pre-qualification in your hand, because otherwise, without that, we can't build your searches. We don't know what price you're looking for. We're shooting blind and we're not armed. We're not ready to submit an offer until we have a pre-qual. So we won't do any of it until you do it. And then we set expectations of what they can expect in the market. Hey, as a buyer, you're going to get your teeth kicked in a few times. You're going to get your heart broken. You're going to lose. This is how we go around it. This is how we try to get you to win offers. This is our system. But please expect it's going to be tough. And please expect when I say, hey, I'm coming to you. I've spoken with the agent. The competition looks like this. Your offer needs to look like that to be competitive. Are you willing to do that? Know that that's going to happen. And sometimes these terms look silly. Waiving appraisal. You know, putting down non-refundable earnest money after the inspection, like big things. We're going to keep you safe, but you have to understand in order to win, this is what it looks like. And right now, winning in this marketplace, I tell this to my buyers, winning in this marketplace is getting you the deal, not getting you the best deal. You're not going to get a good deal in this marketplace. You're going to get the deal.
The deal.
Yeah.
And it really is, dude. It's all the other reason why I think that that consultation is so important is to set expectations, but mm-hmm. when you ask the right questions, you can find out if there's any hidden expectations they haven't told you about, mm-hmm. or like they're not outwardly saying. So that way, you know, like, hey, there's a landmine here.
Yeah.
And we need to address it now in the room rather than out in the field or in the middle of a negotiation or something like that.
Dude, totally. And it's such a good point to when you see those landmines, to sweep them, to clear them right away. Yeah. And agents will see it and they're like, oh, there it is. Like, and they'll keep it. They don't want to have the tough conversation. Like, I think having a tough conversation up front is so much easier than on the back end when that landmine, when like your foot is on the landmine and you can't move it. If you do, you're blowing up. Like, and people will do that. They know it's there and they'll step right on it instead of being like, hey, let's rewind the tape. I'll do that a lot. Hey, can we rewind the tape and go back to the thing that you said about blah, blah, blah? Can you explain that more?
Yeah.
And then pull that out and then you're like, okay, cool. We just defused that landmine. Or that landmine is not defusable.
Yeah.
Like, we need the bomb squad.
And so now we know. Well, now cool, we know. We can, you know what? Let's not move forward.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever the answer looks
like. Yeah. When you get that landmine cleared, then we can move forward. But that thing is going to prevent us from transacting because of this, that, and the other thing. Instead of getting to the transaction and being like, oh, you know that landmine that you kind of mentioned in passing that I didn't take care of? Yeah, my foot's on it right now.
Yeah.
Or your foot's on it, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I'm out.
Let me know how that turns out for you. So awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about expectations, both for yourself, for your clients, for everybody, for everyone around you.
Yep.
Like, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so much of this translates, so much of the stuff that we talk about, because this business is so interpersonal. Whether you're a team lead and you're encouraging and working with agents, whether you're an agent who's working with clients, so much of it, we learn how to interact with people like on a very personal level. And so much of this, like, I pull back into my family too, right? Like, there's so many times where, like, you know, learning in business that you need to correct non-performance right away of an employee of whatever this is. Hey, this isn't working. Or like, hey, I really like the way you answered that call there, but next time, can you please remember to blah, 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 or think about this next time, right? So that if you hear them answering the phone and the 50th time, you're like, I fucking told you not to do it that way. Like, you blow up if you let it stack up otherwise. Yep. So if you see something that's not going right, you address it right there.
Yeah.
And like,
run to the problem.
Run to the problem. Right. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I learned, I forget, one of my people that I pay attention to, mentors, was like, you know, it's super easy to just go, what did you mean by that? Right. If someone says something and you're like, dude, was that a jab? Was that passive aggressive? Was that like, I don't really know how to take that. Just ask them, what did you mean by that? And then they'll like fess up, or they'll back it down and go, you know what? That did come out like pretty shitty, and I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean it that way, or I'm antsy about that. Well, let's unpack why you're antsy. Da 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 da. Right? It always leads to something else.
That reminds me of Fred's favorite script ever is like, "Tell me more."
Tell me more.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's applicable in so many scenarios.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Exactly. What do you mean by that? Or tell me more. Yeah. And like, boom. And I find so often when I ask questions like that, whether it's of a cross agent, a client, my kids, whatever, they just will go. And go and go and go and go. And then especially cross agents, you're like, bingo, you just told me exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And I asked you one question, or I asked you like a simple leading question, and you just unfolded everything. So now I've got everything I need to know to fix the problem or to get my offer over the hump. Or now I know that my kid is upset, but she's really not upset at her teacher. She's really upset at her friend because her friend said this.
Yep.
And she just uncorked.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Solid. That's actually a good thing to end on. But before we do that, tell me, let's do this first. If someone wants to kind of just follow and maybe check out what you are doing online, because as we talked about earlier, like that's a big part of your strategy. Yeah. What's the best place for people to find you?
I think my Instagram account is always really up to speed with what we have going on, with both what we post and stories. So at Halpern Residential.
Cool. And we'll link to that in the show notes. Okay, so anybody who wants to check out Trevor, and trust me, he's got some really good branding and marketing going on. Check it out. So you and I, first week of March 2022 now that we're recording this. Yep. This will be out in a couple weeks. What are you like most excited about or anticipating, throughout the rest of this year, real estate-wise?
You know, I think it's going to be really exciting and interesting to see if the market continues at its trajectory. I don't think it's necessarily going to continue to appreciate the way it has been appreciating, but don't think I'm a sadist or whatever, but I get excited during chaos.
Yeah.
Like
there's opportunity
in chaos. And when you have, systems together and you're able to pivot quickly, I love like when COVID came around and I was the one guy in my office, like everyone else was real estate was essential. So like my office is 4 minutes from my house. I'd go in and no one would be there. And I like rip my business apart and put it back together. Like I rebuilt it based on, I had some time. And so it was fun and exciting. And so now like, I think for me, what I'm excited the most about is just figuring out the next riddle. Like that's what we do, things aren't working. Buyers aren't getting their contracts accepted. What can we do? Da, 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 da. Like I call it being a key maker, like file the key, try the door. It's not working. File the key, try the lock. This is open. Everyone run. Boom. This is what's working. And then the door closes and we file it down again. And so I think when we're in these periods of market appreciation, when we're super seller weighted or super buyer weighted or whatever it is, when we're not really in balance, it's about figuring out how to continue to drive client success. And so I'm excited about the opportunity surrounding a lack of knowing really where this thing is going.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good way to put that too. I like that. Thanks, well, man. Anything else? Anything else I haven't asked you that I should have or anything that's just burning desire to share?
No, we went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, as always, man. I was going to say we went a whole bunch of different directions dude.
I love like I've gotten so much out of knowing you, man. I appreciate you having me on, and like we all when we get together, it's just like and being involved and you thinking of me for your events, always take great stuff away, like life changing stuff. So, us sitting on that stage at that lender forum, literally there were times it was so funny, like you'd have an answer and I'd like look over and be like, bro. And then I could see you looking over at me like, it's like,
all right, we're going to talk to this guy.
Yeah. We got to hook up, and it's been great, man. So thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks a lot for being here and, on the Kevin and Fred Show, and, we'll see you guys next week.
Did you enjoy today's podcast? Join the Kevin and Fred community, part of eXp Realty, and partner with us today. You'll get free access to live trainings 2 or more times a month, live events and in-person masterminds, digital downloads to help you run and scale your business, and much, much more. To learn more and join our community, visit kevinandfred.com/contact and contact us today. Not ready to join our community? No problem. Continue enjoying all this great content on our podcast for free.